didn't really have the backing of the group, and they appeared to be willing to give up way too many rights, so that we bailed out of that. We were getting snookered into such a restrictive thing that it would hurt and harm Food Not Bombs groups and other activist groups for years.
This was the offer to get permits that actually that Terrence Hallahan himself put forward, which
right, in which we would have to serve only twice a week, and it would have to be out of sight, and it would have to not be political. And
so even though you rejected Hallahan's plan, he was then on the Board of Supervisors, since has become district attorney, Hallahan himself has still supported Food Not Bombs' right to serve, in the sense that he came to my hearing and spoke for eliminating my sentence, or reducing it essentially to nothing.
Yeah, and it's sort of one of these things where he's definitely somewhat supportive. I mean, he served food and stuff. The problem, however, is that when you get down to negotiating, we end up having to give up essentially most of our rights. And so you get a permit, but you get a permit to do. And this has happened consistently throughout the whole history of permit processes. Is you get a permit, but it's for behind a bush. Like for instance, in the original permit in Haight Street.
Back in 1988
was behind this bush in a strategically, actually very carefully located space in which we fought over 10 feet of land from moving left 10 feet, because if we moved 10 feet to the left, we would have been seen by tourists who were entering Golden Gate Park. So we lost that, and we had to move 10 feet.
And your aim, of course, to be seen by tourists is because you wish to become a household name and have large cups and T-shirts issued, sell a lot of products. That's the point.
Well, theoretically, the idea is that the military and the corporations, they have this amazing access to public attention. In fact, there's billboards everywhere. I don't know if people have noticed them. They really control billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars of TV advertising, things like that. And yet, Food Not Bombs is supposed to not have anybody see the sign that says Food Not Bombs. And that's essential. That's, of course, why both the banner and the sign are seized first by the police during the arrests, and then, of course, then the people serving. So the fight has always been along the issue of communications. It's the entire thing.
Indeed, your felony arrests were given to you while you were either speaking at public forums or trying to give out flyers to the Board of Supervisors.
Correct. All my charges, all 150 or 101 arrests, stem from communication acts. Right? Every one of them was either handing out flyers, holding banners, or doing street theater, and all done specifically to suppress our ability to communicate the idea. See, it's against the law, essentially, against the will of the government and the corporations to say food, not bombs. See, that's why getting in the New York Times the words food, not bombs, slipping that under the wire is amazing. Because we've had articles about food, not bombs in the New York Times where they never mention the words food, not bombs, but somehow the censors failed to catch it on this one article. So, because that's what the objection is. The objection is that there could possibly be somebody saying food, not bombs. That jeopardizes a $275 billion a year defense budget. If the public started thinking about that, you look at even like a little strike, say this teacher strike that's still kind of lingering in Oakland. Obviously, they have plenty of money to pay all these teachers, and they shouldn't be laying off any teachers there, because there's defense contractors operating in the port of Oakland and so on. Now, if those defense contractors put in a few pennies more, they could have lower class sizes, plenty of people. They wouldn't have to get rid of their counselors. They wouldn't be pitting the counselors against the union organizers.
So the national message, food, not bombs, you think is a subversive one, and one that that the authorities want to repress.
Right, they've got to repress this message.
And that message can perhaps be better passed on, as well as the food, not the bombs, if we can get this injunction dissolved. And you think it's unlikely because Louise Ren,
Louise Rennie, who is very connected to bombs.
She's the current city attorney.
She's the city attorney. Right now, I think
she's independently elected.
She was appointed, I think. I mean, she may be coming up for an election again, but she was at one point appointed, I believe.
So she, but she does have independent authority to block this?
Yeah, she's the one that is blocking this and will continue to block this.
Yeah, I see.
And she knows, you know, her family is big in industry and real estate here in the Bay Area. So they're not, and she's a very powerful Democrat. There's no way. To influence her positively would be impossible. That's just not going to happen.
Well, the other thing coming up, I'm noticing, and there's some events coming up that are of interest. You should know, of course, down here we successfully fought off a TRO.
Oh, wow, really? That's
yeah, nice. Against the City Hall sleepout, which
that's
is
fantastic.
Now. Yeah, it's now in its, I guess it's 85th day. However, police have gotten nastier. They're kicking people. They've again resorted to stealing bedding and concocting charges. Pat Ring, a demonstrator, was told to sit down, put out his cigarette, and when he did, they arrested him for littering when he dropped the cigarette butt on the sidewalk.
Wow.
So it's the climate is heating up down here. But on the 31st, we have an injunction hearing happening on the on a preliminary injunction, which the TRO is denied by the judge here. But the preliminary injunction, we may not be so lucky. So we're working round the clock to get declarations in, which we have to do by Tuesday, the 27th, actually the 28th. And you also have something happening in San Francisco around the 30th and the 31st, right?
Yeah, on the 31st, we have a forum against police repression that's happening at 6 o'clock. And, of course, contrary to the article in the New York Times that talks about your case and Phoenix bombs, repression of the by the police since the new mayor has been elected has increased. And there is a lot of really ugly things going on. For instance, there's an attempt to claim that all these people who die from pepper spray or who die in custody die as a result of their own
in custody death syndrome.
Yeah, right. In custody death syndrome, or this new one that they've concocted, which is called Channel 7 TV's been running this whole series about hypertension death syndrome or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, right. Choose your syndrome.
Yeah, so it's like this, like basically if the cops kill you, it's your fault. And the other one, of course, is blue suicide is another one. So we still have a rash of police killings and police assassinations.
And there's also the story in the Examiner, I guess, of several days ago, which noted that the pepper spray study that was used by police across the country to justify use of pepper spray, claiming it's safe, was tainted because the one that was conducted by FBI Special Agent Thomas W.W. Ward at the FBI Academy in Virginia in the late 80s, and Ward did not disclose at the time he had accepted $57,000 from a pepper spray manufacturer that was laundered through a Florida company owned by his wife, Sherry. He was sentenced to 2 months in federal prison after he earlier pleaded guilty to federal charges of accepting an illegal gift, according to the May 21st, that's our national edition of the San Francisco Examiner, which I guess comes out a day after your Monday Examiner.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, if you could forward a copy of that to me, that article, that'd be fantastic.
Keep harassing me until I do.
Okay, because that's fantastic that's come out, because it, in fact, is the study that was so boldly described in great detail by the San Francisco police during the police commission meeting several Wednesdays ago, where they decided the pepper spray was fine. And here, that man is now theoretically going to go to jail soon for the same amount of time as yourself. Although, what is there? There's 61 deaths have occurred as a result of his involvement in that, and no deaths as a result of your activities.
No.
Probably some people have been saved.
Possibly.
So, the kind of a fascinating thing. It was very horrible when they showed on the screen that test on this little video, or this kind of a projector screen on the wall, and you just wanted to get up and say, but isn't that guy just pled guilty to taking kickbacks, $57,000? But,
Well, let me ask you, so you're having a meeting on the 31st against police abuse?
Police abuse, and it's to start a renewed organizing campaign against the excesses of the San Francisco police. And the excesses that are happening now, they are increased arrests and harassment of homeless people for being homeless. There's also that continues to be a big problem. They have a new thing called, it's a new matrix program called Operation Park. They also have this effort to ban people sitting on the sidewalks and congregating on Hate Street, which is kind of funny in view of the fact that almost every night on Channel 5 TV here in San Francisco on the David Letterman show. They feature Manny and the people that are sitting on the sidewalk.
Oh, Manny is sort of the Letterman protege.
He's the new
the homeless
hero.
Homeless theater or movie critic.
Right. And so that's kind of funny that they mm-hmm. local media are hailing the people who sit on the sidewalk as heroes, and then also encouraging their elimination from the sidewalks. And then so we have that issue, which is happening. We also are supposed to start getting these two helicopters. And there's a number of unsolved police murders that have occurred, some before Brown was in office, but some since. So, for instance, the Mark Garcia murder, and then the execution by gun of Edwin Sheen at Cross from the Coalition on Homelessness. That's still a very ugly situation.
Did that get out in the papers? I don't think I heard about that.
It made it one day in the papers. I think that was in the beginning of...
Edward Sheen was a homeless man, or no?
He was a man that lived in the Tenderloin, and he had been released from custody, had gotten in his van, driving down the street, and stopped by the police. And
hang on. You said this man was shot by Sergeant...
Haggart, or Haggerty, I forget which how to pronounce his last name. He's been involved in a lot of scandals in San Francisco, and he just kind of, he jumped out of the passenger side of a police car, ran up and just started pumping him full of bullets right through the wall of the van and into a side, killed him, and the man wasn't trying to escape, or had no guns, was unarmed, and in fact had just been in custody.
And the police justification for this was...
Oh, they had to do it to the spot. He might have gotten away.
He might have gotten away. Good point. Well, that's one way to make sure they didn't get away. Let me get back to you at a later point, because we have to interrupt this with,
okay.
I guess, an incoming
Take
call.
Care.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
And that was Keith McHenry on Friday giving an update from San Francisco. Keith is at Liberty organizing up there, and one of the many Food Not Bombers who serves food daily, as down here, Feed the People and Food Not Bombs serve food at Cathcart and Pacific as long as they can, though I'd like to point out, as soon as a building arises on that new Ford's parking lot structure, the city's sitting ban, our Santa Cruz sitting ban, will come into play. Well, that's it for Bathrobe Spears Broadsides for today. I think we'll roll out on a Spanish note that has nothing to do with, well, civil rights for the poor. It probably does have a lot to do with civil rights for the poor, but at least it's not a show that I am familiar with, but it's a tape that I've just found around the studio. If you want to be on this show yourself, give me a call at 423-HUFF. If you have any criticisms, comments, praise, or just reflections, give me a call, 423-4833. We'll be back on Friday at 10 o'clock if the injunction hearing is finished. If not, we'll try to have a tape ready to play for our regular listeners. And we invite you again to join us tomorrow at 8 o'clock at the City Manager's Office for the Social Services Subcommittee to expose just what's going on with this Community House $600,000 boondoggle project. Show up at City Council at 3:30 if you want to see why money isn't going for campgrounds. And at 7 o'clock if you want to speak at Oral Communications or support the Drummers, who are coming in with a compromise. It looks pretty much like a done deal, but then again, we thought the law against the Drummers was a dumb deal. It certainly was a dumb deal, and we thought it was a done deal, too. We'll see if this drum deal goes through. So, stay with us, or I should say, stay with the next talk show host if you find her or him to your liking, and come back to me, because I'm interested in getting the word out to you. This is Bathrobe Spear Robert Norse saying goodbye, have a good day, keep your eyes open on the streets, and when somebody is in trouble, go help them.
But I'm proud.